The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon, and at about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go to the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you've made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Last night, when I preached this sermon for the first time, I was rather tired. We had a very big funeral yesterday, and my feet hurt. As a result, the sermon was shorter. If you say your prayers and play your holy cards right, I might do the same thing today. Now, if you listen to the first reading, you heard there a verse which is very beautiful, and it's one that I memorized quite spontaneously when I was a boy, and I've been thinking about, pondering ever since. The Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, what's important about this passage is that it's not said in the context of God sending or threatening punishments. It's said in the context of mercy. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And the unrighteous person, let him return to the Lord, that he will have mercy on them, and to our God, that he will abundantly pardon." So these words about God's ways being higher than ours, his thoughts being greater than ours, are about the extravagance of his mercy. That's what you have to keep in mind in order to listen to the gospel. The gospel is another of those curious passages, the parables recorded by St. Matthew. Each of the evangelists, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is also true to his own personality in recording the life of Jesus. And Matthew, you remember, was the tax collector who sold out his own people, so to speak, in order to work for the Romans. Many of his parables, the parables that he heard Jesus speak and that he writes down, deal with money. Because he had to learn at the feet of Jesus what the meaning of true treasure is. So we find this characteristic about Matthew. Last week, it was the servant who owed his master an enormous amount of money. This week, it's the owner of the vineyard who hires day laborers. Now, Still today, in many countries, if a man is looking for workers for his farm at time of harvest, he goes to a public area and he asks the men to work for him and agrees on a day's wages. So this man goes out at 6 a.m, the beginning of the work day, and he hires the men whom he finds in the public square, and he agrees with them that they'll work for 1 denarius, which is an ordinary day's wages. And then as the day goes on, the owner comes back looking for more workers, and he hires again at 9 a.m. and at about noon and at about 3 p.m, and he even goes back at 5 o'clock and meets more men who haven't been hired. "Why aren't you working? No one's hired us." "Well, go and I'll hire you." And he sends them out into the vineyard for the last hour of the day, because the work day is from 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. There's no electricity. There's no way to have night light after nightfall. So they can't harvest in the dark. So the day's coming to an end. And then, when the payments begin, he says to his paymaster, "Pay the latecomers first, and then finish with those who have worked all day." So, he begins to pay the latecomers, and he pays them a full day's wages. When the other men see this, those who have been there all day start to say to themselves, "Well, he's going to give us 12 times as much. We work 12 hours. And then when they get to the paymaster, they receive the same wage. Now that's shocking. And first of all, you have to think, Jesus is not teaching according to the Employee Standards Act of British Columbia. And if you're a union organizer, this is not going to make you happy. The men grumble and say to the master, "Why have you paid them so much? We've been working all day." And he says 3 things. He says, first, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. You and I agreed to 1 denarius, and that's what I've paid you. Take what belongs to you and go." Second, he says, "I choose to give the latecomers the same as I give you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with my own money?" That's the second point. And third, he says, "Are you envious because I am generous?" The Greek expression actually is, "Has your eye turned evil because I'm generous?" So those are the 3 points that he makes. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Now, last week when we listened to the gospel, we might have been very sure that we would never act like that servant who, having been forgiven 200,000 years debt, then went off and throttled a fellow student, a fellow servant, who owed him just a few weeks' wages. We all said to ourselves, "I'd never do that." But now this week, we have the same generous God speaking like this. And we might be tempted to say, if we thought about it for a moment, "Well, when I get to heaven, I have a lot of questions to ask. Here I am, I had to be good all my whole life long. This guy only had to be good for the last 20 minutes and go to confession." Now, if we say that, I warn you, you're in deep trouble. Because it means you've missed the point. God, in his mercy, calls us to happiness, truth, and freedom. Not everyone understands. There are those who hear his voice early in life and live a life of truth and goodness, that both touches the lives of others and transforms ourselves in the process. There are others who hear his voice in the middle of life. And there are others who only realize their mistakes and their losses at the very end and find mercy from him nonetheless. We're supposed to rejoice in this. We are supposed to be happy. Because when you stop to think about it, in some aspect of our life or others, we also hear him late. We do not respond to the Lord perfectly in every way from the very beginning. Ours is a life, too, of conversion, of turning towards him. Some things we understand immediately and well, and we carry them out. Other aspects of Christ's words or his church's teachings are harder for us. And perhaps we compromise, perhaps we neglect, and it's only later that we understand their truth and accept them and try to live them out. We are all at one point or another in our life like the men who stood around idly till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, window shopping or having a coffee at Starbucks. But he makes his voice heard. He calls us to him, and he grants us his reward. That's something we have to remember and ponder, so that in our own lives we can be honest and sincere and generous, so that we can build upon whatever natural goodness and generosity there is in our own character and in our own formation, but also open ourselves to God's grace, so that our capacity for loving God becomes greater and greater, and so that we can truly rejoice with those who hear his voice at whatever time and sincerely turn to him. For this passage is about everlasting life. It's not about wages. In heaven, our reward will be to see God face to face, to know that we are loved eternally and infinitely, and that we are safe, that we will never more offend him because we can't turn away from the truth. We can't turn away from perfect love. That would make no sense. And although we might engage in such foolishness here on earth, we don't in heaven because we see and know him directly and immediately. St. Augustine, who himself led quite a wild youth, and did not turn towards Christ until he was almost 40, wrote about this gospel when he said, "In that great reward of eternal life, then, we shall all be equal, the first to the last, and the last to the first. For the denarius stands for eternal life, in which we'll all have the same share, although through diversity of merit some will shine more brilliantly than others, in the possession of eternal life there will be equality. What is endless for all will not be longer for one and shorter for another. What has no bounds will have none either for you or for me. Those who live chastely in the married state will have one kind of splendor. Virgins will have another. The reward for good works will differ from the crown of martyrdom. But where eternal life is concerned, there can be no question of more or less for anyone. Whatever may be the individual's degree of glory, each one will live it eternally." This is the meaning of the denarius. So we have to ponder these things, you and I, so that our sense of justice and mercy becomes enlarged, augmented, so that it may be like unto Christ's. That's part of our ongoing conversion. It's a truth we have to accept and integrate into our lives. And as I may have said to you already, when we get to heaven, you'll be surprised at who you see there. But because in heaven everyone is so well-mannered, they won't show that they're surprised to see you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.